Well, the first order of business, you're going to have to get a new preacher because I'm going to become full-time drummer. Especially on that song, Our God. It took everything. If that wasn't electric drums, I'd have been over there. But anyway, got that off my chest. So obviously, or maybe not obviously, I'm going to interrupt the sermons out of 1 Peter. So I want you to turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I'm not going to put it on the screen. I'd like for you to look at it, however you look at it, electronically or real pages. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. So the title today is Worship with a couple of subtitles. The one thing every member ought to do. Now here's what we've been practicing here for a long time. Not every one of you should work in the nursery. We might call on you, but not everybody. Not everybody's called to teach first grader. There's so many things that we trust that God will lead individually to make up the body. Worship is the one thing everybody ought to do. Every member ought to do it. Over my lifetime as a pastor, I've seen different workers skip worship regularly. Totally unacceptable. Stronger word would be absolutely wrong. There's no place for it. Because everything that happens in this church, everything should flow out of worship, should flow out of the presence of the Lord. The other subtitle is the one place where every member ought to be. So it's the one thing to do, but it's here we are, not on Wednesday night. Some people are doing Awana, listening and teaching. Some are in the youth ministry. Not everybody can be together on Wednesday night. We can't be together on Sunday night. We're just not together very often. This is the time to be together. So it's very significant what we're talking about. So what 2 points today, the significance of this decision in the life of our church. Now, today, as I said a few weeks ago, I started in 1 Peter because I felt like being called back into that week by week, verse by verse discipline. But there are times as pastor that I need to speak to a topical general thing, and this is one of those. And so if you're visiting, certainly who leads the music and worship is not important in your life, but what is going to be shared today about worship is. Bart Brown, Lori Strawn, Mike Brown, Julie Bynum, Ashley Rowland, Pat Mathis, several months were given an assignment. And if you've ever done something like a search for a minister, it's a burden. And I don't mean that negatively, I mean that accurately. That's why some people say, I can't do that. There's no time in my life right now. Because here's what happens when you get on a search committee. You live, you eat, sleep, and breathe it, and that's all you think about. And that's what we ask them to do. seek God's will and in His way. So the first thing, before I say that, this has been a 3-year journey. In August of 2016, Darren left to go to Kingsville. He's been there ever since, doing well, enjoying it. He was here almost 10 years. 3 years, we said, wait, Lord, we're going to wait on the Lord. And we're going to see. We have been in the last 3 years really seeking Him and asking Him about all kinds of ministries and focus. So it's a 3-year journey. Mike Harlan, that name doesn't mean anything to most of you, but it does to the search committee, because the first thing they did, all of them, is read his book. Who's Mike Harlan? Southern Baptist denomination is the largest Protestant denomination in the world. Over 40,000 congregations. And in the last 20 years, worship and music has been a big deal. Unless you've been somewhere, Mars or somewhere, a big deal. One person has risen to this level of the leadership of our denomination saying, help us navigate all of this. And he wrote a book called Worship Essentials. They read it. Because in the past, somebody leaves, we replace them. Somebody leaves, we replace them. Just default. This time, Lord, what are you saying to us? We're a living congregation. You're a living God. Give us direction. Let us hear from you. Another one of the first things they did is they came up, well, here's what's significance of worship. There's much at stake in our worship. The health and kingdom impact of our churches is directly connected to the health and vibrancy of our worship ministry. Incidentally, I was going to say, I'm going to give you a few quotes from what they read and what they listened to and what influenced them. There is a lot at stake because worship, did you know, most of you know that the story of Satan is he was the lead worshiper, and that wasn't enough. And he rebelled. He just could not be under the Lord. He had to compete. Music, worship, emotional expression of who we are is a powerful medium. So there's a lot at stake in ministry. So one of the first things they did is they came up with qualifications of a person who ought to be leading our worship. I'll get into you real fast. This person must have a heart for helping the congregation learn how to live a life of worship and discipleship. Do you notice what's being said right there? Can you lead the music? Well, of course he can lead the music. That's not enough. That's not good enough. Are you interested in joining our church and this journey? Are you interested in influencing our people, us, in every single week we leave worship and then we approach worship? It's not 1 hour a week. So there must be a heart for helping the congregation. Meaning, must be a shepherd, not just a musician. Has strong relational skills. This is about people and God. Enthusiastic presence for leading congregation in worship. Is competent, of course. Now, here's what's new for half of us in here. I guess it's half. In my lifetime, this would never have been said in 1975. Absolutely. There's no technology in worship. A little, but not enough to say he needs to know technology. Today, there's much which really affords you greater resources. Things can happen in here that you wouldn't imagine, thanks to technology. Can he get in the way? Of course it can get in the way. And finally, he must be a team player and have a positive attitude. Creating a healthy worship culture means setting the values of worship as a spiritual discipline above any and all musical preferences. We're about to go back to Psalm 34, but there's another verse before that. A healthy worship culture means there must be disciplined thinking and a disciplined approach. Honestly, myself, a while ago, half of the songs, so how about let's get honest, half of the songs, I didn't know all the words. I had to wait for guidance. Just a fact. Wonderful. And there's a discipline. So when I'm tempted, so let me go ahead and put the scripture on here. Because guess what? Now there's something called musical preferences in the kingdom of God. Psalm 96:1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. I looked up in the concordance. How many times does it say that in Psalms? 6 plus Isaiah 42:10 says exactly the same thing. 7 times in the Old Testament. I didn't know they were creative. What is this about a new song? Because I'm going to go out on a limb, and it's not a very dangerous limb. I've done some research. 98.999% of the people don't like new music. They like to sing things they know. Anytime I go to a secular concert, for example, I didn't see Ronnie Millsap this time. He was here about 3 weeks ago. Well, he was here in the early 90s at the fairground, Ronnie Millsap. Guess what he sang? I don't know, he's got 40 number one. That's what he's saying. If he would have got up on stage and said, hey guys, I'm tired of singing those songs. I've been writing some new songs, and I'm going to share those with you. There would have been a revolt. Simple as that. Nobody paid money to hear Ronnie Millsap's creativity lately. There's something in us. So why is it in the Bible? Why, there's a tendency, let's sing what I know, sing what I know. Well, it's very simple. God expects us to be so alive every single day that if I did have any skill, I would write a new song every once in a while. If you listen very much to singers, performers, they love songwriting. They love it. That's why they're tempted to come up and say, I want to share my new stuff. They love the experience because it's coming out of them. We should live our walk with Christ. We should be so full of Him, and it should be new every day. I know that the Ruley family, they would appreciate this. No confidence being broken. The other day, I had the privilege of meeting with them to get ready for the service of their 18-year-old. So we sat there for about 15 minutes during that time as they recounted the last 72 hours of his life. One thing after another and another and another and another, and I could keep saying another. One thing after another was a reminder of God's answer to prayer, expressions of His presence, because this person was right there at the right time. The ambulance guys did something above and beyond. The hospice people did something above and beyond. The doctors, on and on and on and on, and yet He passed away. And they sat there at that meeting just overflowing with the blessings of recent evidence of God. They want to write a song. I'm just saying that. They could write a song. I should write a song. Because God wants to see that there are so many ways to notice and use different words and exhaust the thesaurus, the dictionary, to give Him praise. And so worship today is an environment where I have to push back. In case you didn't hear anything and you checked out, come back. Every once in a while, I got to push back. When there's a moment, I wouldn't have done it that way. And I say, Lord, you're worthy. The significance of worship in the life of our church. Now I want you to look at Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Does your soul ever get a chance to speak? Does your soul ever say, look, I've got to let this out? And we regularly and routinely have an opportunity and an avenue to do that. I don't know what would happen at work if you just all of a sudden said, you know what, I'm fixing to just belt it out and I'm going to worship the next 30 minutes. There's some jobs I wouldn't recommend it. For one thing, you may be taken away for the 72-hour mental observation. Or you may get fired because you're disrupting. But, hey, come here and do that. Or you do it privately in your significant time of devotional life. But your soul wants to boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it. Who are the humble? People that the situations in their life are of such that they're listening. In case I don't say it later, I want to say it here. The decision today about this ministry, I firmly believe, is a decision that should, can, and must impact people I don't even know that are going to be reached by the call of Jesus Christ on their lives. They're going to be humble enough to be drawn into His presence and call on His name. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I got to go fast now. When our people worship, when they engage in pouring their praise on Him and responding to the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, they will join the mission. It is the natural response of the worshiper. See, not everybody's going to work in the nursery or teach first grade or help here and help there, but this church is on mission to be faithful in this day with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the call upon people to come to know the Lord. We're on mission. Worship should awaken willingness, openness, and ultimately a commitment to say, it is time for me to step up. And it comes out of worship. According to Mike Harlan, our Southern Baptist expert that we highly respect, worship is, as it is described in the Bible, is not just demonstrating outward expressions of praise or song. Of course it's that. It is responding to God's Word expressed in Christ by submission and obedience in doing what is. So worship should result. I wasn't saying this 30 years ago. I saw worship 30 years ago as a standalone special hour that you ought to be part of. And then you go do whatever God wants you to do. But it's that stand alone. And I see more and more that it leads, of course, James says, don't be hearers only, but be doers of the word. Harold Best said, we do not go to church to worship. That ought to catch you. But as continuing worshipers, we gather ourselves together to continue to worship, but now in the company of brothers and sisters. Psalm 34:1. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Harold Best, another worship writer, says, you don't come to church in order to worship. You come to church because it's an opportunity that just has to explode out of you. And you get to do it because you're already worshiping. You ought to be continually worshiping. Sorry, that's not the end. That's just something I'm going to read now. Many believers have it backwards. I did. Worship shouldn't be measured by how much we receive. Believers should not come to church empty. Listen, believers should not come to church empty. I've always thought that was the image. I come empty and I get filled. You shouldn't come to church empty to be filled up for the next week. We come full because of our daily walk with Jesus and His work in our lives through the week. By the time Sunday comes, we are so full of gratitude for His faithfulness and goodness that we can't wait to join the rest of the body and empty out our praise on Jesus. We just can't wait. Then we leave empty. That's where the emptiness is. I just exhausted my praise today to Him. Now I'm going to go walk in Him. And I'm going to feed every day on His Word. I'm going to do whatever it takes in my own makeup. How does it happen for me? How do I get filled? Devotional life. What material? What way do you get filled? So that you're so full next Sunday that you praise the Lord. Another quote, last one that I'm reading. Mike Harlan talks about passive worshiping. A passive environment in corporate worship where the only expected response is to listen is actually lulling our people into being passive about all things pertaining to serving God. I didn't say it at F15, but I got to say it. In all of my ministry and counseling and study, a very common problem in families is a passive husband and a passive father. It also goes for passive worship. And I know something about that. And passive worshipers, I'm afraid, leave our building Sunday after Sunday to live as passive Christians in a world that desperately needs them to be anything but passive. How dare we walk out of here? How dare we enter into the context of life and we are just overwhelmingly absent, overwhelmingly silent, overwhelmingly reflective, passive. Worship, there's all kinds of people in here, and they range from super quiet, super reserved, to the other extreme. Every one of us, something should stoke in us. Worship should stoke something in us that says, I will speak when I need to speak. I will engage when I need to engage. I will boldly stand in this moment and see how God could use me. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to be always quiet. Worship should and can make that happen because of the presence of God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I will end with my slide. Worship. The setting, a setting, not the only one, but primary, a setting where the Holy Spirit, He can use this setting to make the claims of Christ compelling to an unbeliever. How does an unbeliever ever start saying, I can't believe this, but I'm interested in what that preacher is saying? And I've spent my whole life pushing back. I can't believe I want to call him. I can't believe I think I'm going to talk to the guy at work who's saying the same thing. How does that happen? The Holy Spirit. We all should be so alert to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit work? And realize the fact that He is the one in this place that makes anything we do substantial and eternal and real and powerful. Lord, we thank You for the ministry of the Spirit. We thank You for the place of worship. We thank You that our church at this point is blessed to have someone in our midst to help us on this journey of being everything we ought to be with You, especially when we gather. And gathering is so precious now because we get to do it so little. And Father, we pray that the gospel of Jesus, the claims of Christ upon a soul that is lost, will always be powerful in the First Baptist Church of Bay City. In Jesus' name, amen.